Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So Omaganat Timananda Shakananjana Shlakeya Chakshuran Miritam Gimukasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami, and is also called the Guru Purnima. Purnima means the full moon. And there's different explanations. I did a little research on this, why different groups celebrate this Purnima as the Guru Purnima. There's several different reasons. One reason, of course, it's considered to be the appearance day of Vyasadeva too. And Srila Vyasadeva, of course, was born from Parashara Muni and Sajavati on the river in an island. Therefore, he's called Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. And Vyasa is the one who divided the Vedic literature. He's an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God, a Chaturvedic incarnation of the Lord. And he divided the one Veda into the four Vedas, and then he compiled the histories, the itihasas, the Puranas, and of course, itihasas includes the Mahabharata and the Ramayana. And of course, he is the preceptor in our disciplic succession, Brahma Narada Vyas. And he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it's Vyasa's appearance day, according to people. Also, it's according to the Buddhists who also celebrate this day. It is the day that Buddha first gave his first sermon. I think that was the sermon at Deer Park. And then according to the Shaivites, it's when Lord Shiva revealed himself to be a guru and preached to the Sapta Rishis. So there's many different reasons. Of course, nowadays the Mayavadis have adopted this particular day to worship the guru. And Prabhupada comments on this, I read this yesterday, in several different places, that this is an impersonal thing to worship every guru on the same day. And it's not something we do in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we worship the guru on his own appearance day. It's not that we have one size fits all, you know, just like get it all over with in one day. So Prabhupada said this is an impersonal, or Mayavadis do this particular thing. So, Guru Purnima. But as far as we're concerned, the most important thing that occurred on this particular day is the disappearance day of Srila Sanatana Goswami. And if one goes to Braj on this day, one will see the Braj is full of pilgrims, especially around Govardhan Hill, because Sanatana Goswami is considered to be the guru of the Brajavasis, and we're going to be talking a little bit about this when we talk about Sanatana Goswami's pastimes. So I've been there on Guru Purnima, and it's so intense. It's a very hot time of the year, of course, but it's so intense that they had to close up all the roads, and nobody's allowed to come into, at least by vehicle, nobody's allowed to come into the Govardhan area. So they have to really park very far away, and then somehow or other make their way in on rickshaws or something like that into Govardhan. Okay, so now we'll speak about Sanatana Goswami, who is, of course, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami is the acharya of Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha means understanding the jiva soul, the Supreme Personality of God, of the material world, and the relationships between these three factors. Everyone understands Sambandha Gyan, because there's an Abhideya Gyan and Prayojana Gyan. Abhideya, that's Rupa Goswami, and Prayojana, that's Raghunath Das Goswami, and there's presiding deities for each of these different aspects of devotional service. From the Sambandha, that's Madan Mohan. Abhideya, that's Govindaji, Radha Govindaji. And then for Prayojana, let's see, Prayojana, that's... No, it's not Gopinath. Prayojana is, I forget Rajana, anyway, memory escapes. I think it's Gopinath, yeah. Yeah, Radha Gopinath, that's right. You're right. It's Radha Gopinath. And of course, Radha Gopinath were not established by Raghunath Das Goswami, but still they're the deities of Prayojana Gyan. That's right, Radha Gopinath. So Sanatana Goswami, little history, appeared in the year 1488. And he's 5 years older than Srila Rupa Goswami. He was appeared 5 years before Rupa Goswami. And they're from a South Indian family, Brahminical family, who moved to Bengal. family heritage is called the Saraswata Brahmin family. And his father's name was Kumaradev. And he had many sons. Of course, the three most prominent sons were Sanatan, Rupa, and Anupama. And originally, Sanatan, Rupa, and Anupama had a name of Sri Amar, that was Sanatan's name at birth. Sri Santosh was Rupa's name at birth. And Sri Balaba, which was Anupama's name at birth. And of course, Sanatan, Rupa, and Anupama were names given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were all great devotees. And they were such great devotees. Of course, Prabhupada comments that you can see in the lives of the great personalities, they have a particular type of childhood, generally. And so during their childhood, these three great personalities were always absorbed in serving Krishna in Vrindavan. They would call different areas of their play, where they played, in terms of the 12 forests of Vrindavan, like Talavana forest, Madhuvan, Kamyavan, etc. And even they bathed in certain places that they called Radhakund and Shyamakund. So in other words, they were always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada himself said to the devotees, he said there was never a time when he was not absorbed or thinking of Krishna. So they were educated by their maternal uncle, and they were taught Sanskrit and rhetoric by a person named Vijayabhushana Pada. And philosophy they were taught by a very, very important personality, Sri Vijayachaspati, Vijayavachaspati, who was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So you see this connection already there between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, of course, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Rupa and Sanatan and Anupama. So one interesting thing happened in Sanatana's youth. He had a dream. And a very attractive Brahmana boy gave him a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he woke, and he found there was neither the boy there nor the Bhagavatam. And then he went about his morning duties. And during his morning puja, Krishna himself came. This is when Sanatana Goswami was just a young boy. So Krishna himself came, and disguised as a Brahmin boy, he said, "Take this Srimad Bhagavatam from me, always study it, and you will attain perfection." And then he disappeared. And so this Srimad Bhagavatam became Sanatana Goswami's life and soul. And he glorified it in this verse he wrote, the Krishna Lila Stava. He said, here's the quote, "O holy Bhagavat, you are my only company, my only friend, and my guru. You are my greatest treasure and my personal savior. You are the emblem of my highest fortune and the very form of ecstasy. I offer my obeisances unto you." So what happened is that Sanatana's paternal grandfather, that means on the father's side, Mukunda, was posted in the government of the Nawab Hussein Shah, who was the Muslim ruler of Gaudiya Desh at that particular point. And so Sanatan succeeded him. In other words, he was the next person to take that post. And sometimes it's asked, why did Rupa and Sanatan Goswami take these posts in the Muslim government? And the reason they took the posts in the Muslim government is the Muslims actually threatened the Vaishnavas, and they said, you know, we're going to kill you all unless you actually take up this position and take responsibility. So in this way, out of service to the Vaishnavas, they served the Muslims. So they were actually given quite a lot of facility in this place called Ramakeli, which was the capital of Gaudadesh at that particular time. And they were given so much money, they built a palace and mansions where they lived. So they made their home like Sri Vrindavan. They never forgot Krishna and never gave up devotional service and planted many auspicious trees there, like the tamal tree, kadamba tree, yutika, and tulsi. And they still were engaged all the time in discoursing on shastra with brahmanas and learning about Krishna consciousness. So while they were in Ramakeli, they heard about this great personality named Nimai Pandit. So they were just meditating on him all the time. They heard that, you know, he was actually a great devotee of the Lord. At that particular time, Lord Chaitanya hadn't exhibited all of his position as Krishna. And then they heard he had taken sannyas and gone to stay in Jagannath Puri. But they became very depressed at that point because they thought they would never have his darshan. And then they heard a voice from the sky informing them that Lord Chaitanya would soon come to Ramakeli to see them. So after 5 years, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Bengal to have darshan of his mother and of the Ganges, he first stopped in Shantipur and then he proceeded on to Ramakeli on the way to Vrindavan. He was going to actually go to Vrindavan. There, Sanatana Goswami, who at that time was known as Shikara Malik, and Rupa Goswami, who was known as Dabir Kaus, along with the Nupama, had darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is, whole pastime is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm going to read a little bit about this. They saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beneath a tree on the banks of the Ganges. He was accompanied by his most intimate associates, and Sanatana Rupa and Anupama arrived there. And they met Lord Nityananda also, and Haridas Thakur informed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of their arrival. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described in great humility, the two of them took bunches of straw between their teeth, and each bound a cloth around his neck. This is actually a sign of humility. They fell down like rods before the Lord upon seeing him. And they were overjoyed and wept out of humility. And at this point, they composed a particular prayer verse, "All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most munificent savior of the fallen souls, all glories to the Lord." And taking a very humble position, they said, "Sir, we belong to the lowest class of men, and our associates," this is all from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, "Sir, we belong to the lowest class of men, and our association and condition are of the lowest type. Therefore, we cannot introduce ourselves to you." And they took a position. They posited themselves as lower than Jagai and Madai. And the ancient have even had logic for that. They said, Jagai and Madai, even though they fell down, they never served low-class people. They had one fault. They were addicted to sin. I mean, imagine their humility. Because Sanatana and Rupa and Anupa were never addicted to sin, never did any sinful thing. And they said, however, heaps of sins are burned to ashes simply by Namabhas, the dim reflection of the holy name. Jagai and Madai uttered your holy name in blasphemy, but their utterance of the divine name delivered them. We are millions of times inferior to Jagai and Madai. We are more degraded, fallen, and sinful than they. Although we belong to the caste of meat eaters, for we are servants of meat eaters. Because we associate with them, we have become the enemy of cows and brahmanas. So in other words, it's probably understood from this indirectly that Jagai and Madai, in spite of doing so many abominable things, didn't kill cows. So implicit in this is the point that you know, cow killing is actually the worst sinful activity implicit in this particular description here. Worse than being a dacoit and being drunk all the time. Wow. That's a pretty interesting realization. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked him up and said, my dear Dabhinkas and Sakalamalik, you two are my old servants. And he initiated them immediately. He said, from this day on, your names will be Rupa and Sanatan. So please give up this display of humility. And they had written many letters to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya said, my only business coming here was to see the two of you. Everyone asked me why I've come to this place of Ramakeli. No one knows that I've come here only to see you. Have no fear of anything. Birth after birth, you two have been my eternal servants. Krishna will soon deliver you. So they met the other associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also, it's described they advised Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not to continue to Vrindavan, to leave the place, because the Muslim governor, although he somehow or other was tolerating Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence, they said, you know, he can't be predicted. He could actually act against you at this particular point, so you should leave, and you shouldn't go to Vrindavan at this point, because you're being surrounded by this whole entourage of people, and it's like going to Vrindavan with a circus. So Vrindavan should be approached in a very quiet, meditative fashion. Anyway, so that's some of the points they made. They made so shortly after that, it's described that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Puri, taking their advice, and the three brothers performed various vows and rituals to become free from their entanglement. The first person to become free, or the first two persons, were Rupa and Anupama, who left in a boat with all their material wealth. It's described that they had several boats piled with gold coins. That's how rich they were. And they stored them in different ways, left some of it in the care of a grocer in case Sanatana Goswami had problems later on. So Sanatana Goswami feigned sickness to get out of his duties, and he didn't show up in court. Instead, he was reading the Bhagavatam every day with his associates. And the king, or the Nawab, sent his doctor to examine Sanatana Goswami, and he said that Sanatana, or Sakir Malik, was in perfect health. So then the king himself showed up, and the king said, well, you should accompany me. This is a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You should accompany me to my conquest. And then Sanatana Goswami said, you're going on your conquest to actually give pain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the king later on put him in jail, and Sanatana Goswami was able to get out of jail in a very interesting way. First of all, by preaching to the jail keeper that anyone who liberates someone else gets the Lord's mercy, and taking that liberation meant getting out of jail rather than liberation from the material world. And then also he bribed the jail keeper that with the money that Rupa Goswami had left with the grocer. So in this way he journeyed by foot there. He had his servant. His servant's name was Ishan, and Ishan was holding on to actually 8 gold coins. And those 8 gold coins almost got them killed, because there was an innkeeper who was going to take them over the mountains, who had an astrologer who was able to ascertain they had 8 gold coins, so he was going to kill them for those 8 gold coins. And Sanatana Goswami, he said to the innkeeper, being able to perceive why the innkeeper was so nice to him, he said to the innkeeper, you know, I'll give you the money. And he asked his servant Ishan, do you have any money? And Ishan said, yes, I have 7 gold coins, because Ishan didn't want to reveal to Sanatana Goswami that he had 8 gold coins. In other words, he wasn't even truthful to Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami understood, you know, Ishan, you keep that 1 gold coin, because Sanatana knew there were 8 gold coins, because that's what the innkeeper had told him. He said, you keep that 1 gold coin and you go home. So Sanatana proceeded by himself over the mountains. And on the way, he actually met his brother-in-law, Srikant, who gave him this beautiful shawl, like Kashmiri shawl or something like that. So eventually, Sanatana arrived in Varanasi, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, and he was carrying a water pot, and he came to the house of Chandrasekhar, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying, and he actually looked like a Muslim fakir, you know, mendicant at that point. So he knocked on the door, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "There is a great Vaishnava at the door," and Chandrasekhar, he went to the door, and he simply thought he saw a Muslim mendicant. He said, "There's only a Muslim mendicant at the door," and Lord Chaitanya said, "No, he's actually a great Vaishnava," so they let him in, and Lord Chaitanya revealed his identity, and what happened is, he said to Lord Chaitanya, "Oh Lord, please do not touch me," but Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm touching you just to purify myself, because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole universe." That's from the Majjhalila. "Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage because of their purity. They are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage." So at that point in Benares, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him. Of course, there's other stories too that, you know, I forgot right now. I've got to tell, I'm going to tell right now, that Lord Chaitanya looked at Sanatana Goswami and said, "Shave up," you know. So Prabhupada comments in this regard that his followers must be clean shaven. You know, there was this, Prabhupada sort of equated it with some of his followers who were growing facial hair. Prabhupada said his followers should be clean shaven in case of him. And Lord Chaitanya kept looking at Sanatana Goswami's shawl that he had gotten from his brother-in-law. And Sanatana Goswami understood that it wasn't appropriate for a sannyasi to be walking around with opulent clothes, because as Lord Chaitanya said later on to Raghunath Das Goswami, sannyasi should not wear opulent clothes, eat opulent food, think of women even in dreams, and always think of Krishna in his heart of hearts. So Sanatana Goswami gave up that shawl, and he traded it for a like a quilt, an old quilt with holes in it that a Muslim mendicant had by the banks of the river. So, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased, and he actually gave this quote. He said something about leprosy, that one should understand that if one's going to get rid of leprosy, I'm just paraphrasing, that's not the exact quote, you shouldn't even have one spot remaining. In other words, that shawl was actually an impediment to devotional service, to a renunciation of Sanatana Goswami. So, Sanatana Goswami, at that point, he went to Braj Mandal, that means Vrindavan, to join his brothers Rupa and Anupama. Of course, Rupa was in Vrindavan, whereas Anupama passed away on the way. Anupama was actually a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra, rather than focus primarily on Krishna and Vrindavan. So Sanatana Goswami engaged in madhukari to maintain himself. Madhukari means like a bee. That means going from house to house, taking one roti in each house, and living very, very simply. So Rupa Sanatana Goswami had the duty to perform four services in Vrindavan. One was to discover or uncover the sites of Sri Krishna's pastimes. And these sites had previously been elaborated on by Brajanath, who was Krishna's great-grandson. Two, to install the deities and arrange for their puja, the primary deities that had been installed by Brajanath. Remember, these deities that were worshipped by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, most of them had been installed by Brajanath previously. That's how they were there. And three, to compile the bhakti scriptures. And four, to propagate the rules of devotional life. Of course, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami did that. So there's an interesting story about how Sanatana Goswami established the Radha Madan Mohan Temple. Very interesting pastime here. Let's see. Okay, let's see if we have time to tell the whole thing. One day, Sanatana Goswami was meditating in Mahavan, and he was walking along the banks of the Jamuna to beg some foodstuffs, and Krishna came to him in the guise of a coward boy. And when he saw Sanatan Goswami, he came running towards him and said, Baba, Baba, I want to go with you. He didn't realize, Sanatan Goswami didn't realize it was Krishna. Lala replied, Sanatan, why do you want to go with me? And the boy said, I want to stay where you live. And Sanatan said, if you want to stay, if you stay with me, what will you eat? And the boy said, Baba, whatever you eat. And Sanatan said, but I only eat some dried chapatis and chickpeas. And then the boy said, that is what I will eat. Then Sanatan Goswami said, no, no, that won't be enough for you. You should stay with your mother and father. And the boy said, no, Baba, no, I want to stay with you. So that night in the dream, the boy came to him again. And smiling very sweetly, the boy revealed who he was, took hold of Sanatan's hand and said, Baba, I'm coming tomorrow to stay with you. My name is Madan Gopal. And Sanatan Goswami was just like shocked. He said, what did I see? I actually saw Krishna. So that morning he opened the door of his kutir and found outside the effulgent deity of Madan Gopal. He fell on the ground offering his dandavats, weeping tears of love. And there's many stories about this, of course, that Madan Gopal, previously, he was in the house of a brahmana in Mathura. Chobe was the brahman family or the gotra. And previously, that deity, even before that, had been discovered by a Dvaitacharya. And his Dvaitacharya gave that deity to the brahmana in Mathura. And previously, even before that, that deity had been worshipped by Kubja. You all know Kubja? Kubja was the one who had her back straightened out by Krishna when Krishna came to Mathura. So there's the whole history of Madan Mohan, who was previously known as Madan Gopal. And even Sanatan Goswami, before he found Madan Gopal in front of his door, had been visiting this brahmana in Mathura, and he had seen that the brahmana in Mathura was worshipping the deity in an improper way. He was having the deity sit at the dinner table with his family. The deity was playing marbles with his son, and Sanatan Goswami chastised him, and the deity also said to Sanatan Goswami in one dream, you've ruined all my fun, so now you have to take care of me. Very, very elaborate stories about this. And also, when the deity came to Sanatan Goswami said, I can't take care of you, I don't have time. And in the beginning, he had to worship the deity hanging from the tree. And he was just offering the deity some, Prabhupada tells the story, just offering the deity some dried bread balls that were cooked in the sun. You know, it was put out and baked in the sun. And the deity complained, what, no salt? And Sanatan Goswami said, you know, I have so many things to do. If you want salt, you have to get it for yourself. And eventually he did get it for himself by having that salt barge by this Mr. Kapoor, who was actually the businessman. The salt barge was stuck on a sand embankment on the Jamuna, and when this person prayed to Madan Mohan, after talking to Sanatan Goswami, there was a rain and the sand barge, a boat was freed from the sand barge, and the boat had salt in it. And so after selling that salt, the profit from that boatload was used to build the Madan Mohan temple. So not only did Madan Mohan arrange for salt for himself, but he arranged for a temple for himself. Very, very interesting. So many, many stories about Sanatan Goswami. One time when he was old, let's see, when he was 65, actually, here's the story. He's kept trying to offer 1,008 obeisances to Govardhan and Vaishnavas every day. And Krishna didn't want him to do this because he understood Sanatan Goswami was 65 years old. And he came to Sanatan Goswami, he said, Baba, you have become old now, so I think it isn't necessary for you to circumambulate Govardhan Hill anymore. And he said, no, Lala, this is my regular vow, my worship. And Krishna said, you can renounce this vow in your old age. And Sanatan said, no, one should never renounce his vows. And Krishna said, Baba, I have a very good idea if you will accept it. And Sanatan Goswami said, arguing with Krishna. If it is acceptable, surely I will accept it. So then Krishna presented him with a stone from Govardhan Hill with an imprint of his own foot, a calf's foot, and the impressions of a stick and flute in it, telling him that he should circumambulate this Shila every day in the same, it'll be the same as circumambulating Govardhan Hill. Saying this, Krishna disappeared, and Sanatana could understand that Giriraj himself had presented the Shila to him. Pretty interesting story, isn't it? So, let's see. Other stories? Another story is when Sanatana Goswami went to see Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami at Radha Kund. They rose and offered him respects, and Rupa Goswami read a verse that he had composed about Srimati Radharani, and in that verse it states, "O Vrindavaneshri, I offer my respects unto you because your complexion is like a newly molten gold. You are known as Gaurangi. Your dress is beautiful like that of a blue lotus. Your long braid of hair resembles a black serpent decorated with jewels." And when Sanatana heard this line, he said, this is not a reasonable metaphor. To compare Srimati Radharani's hair to a serpent, this is not proper. So that afternoon, Sanatana Goswami went to Radhakund to take a bath. After taking a bath there, he could see some girls playing at the foot of some trees. As he looked in their direction, he could make out that right behind the head of one of the girls was what he thought was a black snake. But actually it was her braid. And he cried out, trying to save the girl. He said, "Oh, young girl, be careful. There's a snake creeping up on your back." The young girl, caught up in the joy of playing, took no notice, and she ran away. After he ran up to her to try to warn her. And then he understood the girl was no other than Srimati Radharani. That's nice. So there's another story in the Bhakti Ratnakara that Sanatana Goswami was alone on the banks of the Pavana Sarovara. He had been fasting, and Krishna didn't want him to fast. Krishna was thinking, "My devotee is starving. I cannot tolerate this." So in the dress of a coward boy, Krishna came up to him, carrying a pot of milk, and he gave it to Sanatana and said, "Baba, I brought some milk." Sanatana said, "Why have you brought me milk?" And the boy said, "Because you're not eating properly, that's why." And Sanatana said, "How did you know that I'm not eating properly?" And the boy said, "Many gopas have come and gone by here. They told me you've not been eating." And Sanatana said, "Why didn't they come?" The boy said, "They have much work at home, so they sent me." And Sanatana says, "You were such a little boy. Why have you taken so much trouble for me?" And the boy said, no, father, there is no trouble at all." Taking the pot of milk, Sanatana said, "Sit down, little boy. I will finish the milk and give you back your pot." The boy said, "No, Baba, I cannot sit with you. I have to milk the cows. I will come and fetch the pot tomorrow." Saying this, the boy vanished, and Sanatana understood it was Krishna. That's nice. And of course, and then there's the famous story that Rupa Goswami wanted to prepare some sweet rice for Sanatana Goswami, but didn't have the necessary ingredients, and so Srimati Radharani came, and Rupa Goswami didn't know it was Srimati Radharani, because she came in the dress of a young gopi girl, and she brought the milk, rice, and sugar to Srila Rupa Goswami, and she said, "I have brought you a gift of uncooked rice, please accept it." And Rupa Goswami accepted it, and cooked for his brother, Sanatana Goswami. When Sanatana Goswami came and took it, he experienced such ecstasy, and he asked Rupa Goswami, "Where'd you get this milk and rice from?" And Rupa Goswami explained it was from a young girl, and Sanatana said, "Can you please describe her?" And Rupa Goswami described her, and then Sanatana Goswami understood it was Srimati Radharani, and he chastised Rupa Goswami. He said, "Can't you recognize something when it is right before your eyes? It was Srimati Radharani herself who has brought you milk and rice. By accepting service from her, we are ruined. Now we shall never attain our desired goal." So by accepting service from her, Sanatana Goswami continually condemned himself again and again for having accepted service from that person who we most aspire to serve, Srimati Radharani. So that's another story of Sanatana Goswami. Maybe you have another. Oh, yeah. So, it's described that Sanatana Goswami would journey throughout Braj with Rupa, and in all the various villages, the two were very much worshipped and adored by the Brajavasis, who would treat them as their parents. All of them would treat each other as their family. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami became the life of the villagers and the Brijavasis, and the Brijavasis also became the life of Rupa and Sanatana. So after remaining in Braj for 43 years, Sanatana disappeared on the full moon month of Asar in 1558. Of course, that's today. It's described that throughout Braj, the inhabitants were so distraught with feelings of separation from their dear Sanatana Goswami that men and women alike, young and old, they all shaved their heads as a mark of respect to Sanatana Goswami. So on Guru Purnima, it is now tradition in many Gaudiya groups to shave up to commemorate Sanatana's life of devotion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in the Jiva Dharma that Sanatana Goswami was empowered to explain the esoteric aspects of Krishna's manifest and unmanifest Braja Leelas. With Rupa Goswami, he did this and left behind a significant literary contribution to the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Most prominent books, of course, are Hari Bhakti Vilas, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and Brihad Vaishnava Toshini. Sanatana Goswami's Samadhi is behind the Radha Madan Mohan Temple in Vrindavan. In the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, Kavi Karnapur has glorified Sanatana's position as Rati Manjari, and also known as Lavanga Manjari in the Nitya Leela. And so he writes this very, very nice verse. Shri Rupa Manjari Prestiha Purasid Rati Manjari Sochute Namavedena Lavanga Manjari Udaha. Rupa Manjari's closest friend, who is known by the names Rati Manjari and Lavanga Manjari, appeared in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Sri Sanatana Goswami, who was considered to be a personal extension of the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay? And that's the information about Guru Purnima and Sri Sanatana Goswami. So any questions or comments? We've got a half a minute left. Questions, comments? Yeah. We have to see according to Shastra. It's called Shastra Chakshus. I mean, just like I was thinking about that story of Kuvja. Everyone was looking at Kuvja and thinking she was ugly because they were just thinking externally. Whereas Krishna actually saw who she was. So if we look at people, of course, that's also described that we should not commit offenses against Vaishnavas because of, you know, some reaction or bodily imperfection. So we have to be very, very careful, not looking at the body, but actually understanding someone's devotional activities. Everyone was making fun of Kubja, isn't it? In India, the people are so cruel sometimes. If someone is too short or someone has some physical deformity, they actually make fun of them. At least in America, they don't do that so much in their face, isn't it? There's a little bit more couth as far as that's understood. I mean, I was told that, like, even with little Krishna Priya, that she was harassed in many, many cases in India. And in America, they just don't do that, generally. I mean, low class people would do that, but not ordinary